If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share a message from God's Word today. Last Sunday, I began a new series entitled Recalibrate When Plans Change. And the message last week talked about planning without presumption, the fact that it's vital to take God's will into consideration in all of our plans. And this morning, I want to continue that series with a message from the book of Acts, chapter 16. I want to share with you some verses from Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The title of my message that I want to share for the next few minutes today is Knowing What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. I know that's paradoxical, but knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. You know, one of the things this pandemic has people wondering is, what will it look like when it's finally over? Or will it ever fully be over? What will the new normal be? There may be some areas of our lives that will never look the same. Church life, family life, career, finances, personal and professional relationships. We may wonder, how will I know what I am supposed to do? And then there are those times when we feel like we have things pretty well figured out. We know the course we should take, and then things change, and we feel lost. The truth of the matter is, there are times in life when we just don't know what to do. As Christians, we know we're supposed to trust the Lord to guide us, but what if we don't hear His voice? Or if we find it difficult to distinguish His voice from all the other voices we hear, or find it difficult to discern His will as opposed to our own will, what then? Well, this morning I want to delve into some answers to those questions. Specifically, in the next few minutes, I want to try to answer from the Scriptures the question, how does God guide us through changing circumstances? How does God guide us through changing circumstances? We find, I believe, some answers to that in this short passage that we read. The first way I believe God guides us through changing circumstances is both through closed doors and open ones. God guides us through closed doors and open ones. Back in Acts 15, verse 36, Paul said, let's go back and visit the churches we founded on the first missionary journey. They had taken a journey. They had planted several churches. So he says, let's go back and visit them. And so they do. Paul and his ministerial companions begin to set out, and they head west. And so he and his colleagues, they head in a northwesterly direction. And the Scripture says the Holy Spirit prevented them from going to Asia. Now, by Asia, it means Ephesus, the headquarters of the Roman province of Asia. Now, we're not told how the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and his companions, whether it was through a spoken word, a prophecy, a vision, or what way exactly, but they had the sense that God didn't want them to go toward Ephesus where they were headed. So they started heading north of that to a place called Bithynia. But then it says the Holy Spirit again forbid them from going there. God just said no. God just says no sometimes, doesn't he? And so one could think, well, Paul and his companions would be perplexed. They went to go one direction. The Holy Spirit said no. They went to go in another direction. The Holy Spirit said no again. So what did Paul do? Did he stand still? Did he just sit and say, oh me, oh my, I don't know what to do? No. He began walking in between those places, and he walked toward the sea. He walked a distance of 400 miles. Imagine that. And if you trace it on a map, he walked toward a place called Troas, which was right on the sea. And if you trace it on a map, it's right almost equidistant between Ephesus, where he was first forbidden to go, and then Bithynia, where he was secondly forbidden to go. The point is that Paul didn't remain passive and just say, I don't know what to do. He continued to do what he knew to do. So he goes 400 miles, he comes to Troas on the sea, and he runs out of places to walk. And you feel like, well, what happens now? Well, it was just then that he receives a vision, a man over in Macedonia across the sea saying, come over and help us. You see, he kept going until he couldn't go anymore, and then God came through with a message for him. So God used closed doors and then an open door to speak to Paul and his companions and tell them what to do. The point is, they didn't just stay solitary. Someone said, knowing the will of God is like riding a bicycle. You can't guide a bicycle if you're standing still. You have to keep moving. That's what Paul did. And then God came through with a message. I like to think sometimes of God's will and the closed doors that he uses as a funnel. You know what a funnel is. It's the top of it is wide open, and then it narrows down to the bottom of it. It narrows down. And that's to pour things and not make a mess and get them all over. It's to direct what you want to pour into the container or into the place that it needs to go. That's how God uses closed doors. Sometimes when doors are closed, and by the way, there are two ways God closes doors. Sometimes opportunities just evaporate. Sometimes opportunities that were there suddenly aren't there anymore. But other times, as here with Paul, we just have a sense of God's Spirit, if we're walking with God and communing with God, that he just says no about something. Sometimes people refer to that as a check in your spirit. And so whether it's an opportunity vanishing or God saying no, sometimes doors close. But rather than become in despair over closed doors, as we tend to do sometimes, we should thank God for closed doors, because he's using that like a funnel to guide us where he wants us to go. Remember the life of Joseph? Joseph's life was one closed door after another. You may remember he was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. And in time, he proved his worth. He was made the chief servant of Potiphar, one of the high officials in the land of Egypt, and he had the run in the house of the house. He was second in command, and things were going relatively well. But then that door closed because he was falsely accused of something and thrown into prison. While in prison, he was used to interpret the dreams of two of Pharaoh's servants who had fallen out of favor, and he interpreted them correctly, one who was executed 3 days later, and the other one who was restored back to his position. And when he was restored, he said he would remember Joseph to Pharaoh and tell him about his plight, but he forgot. And Joseph languished in prison 2 more years, another closed door. But then God elevated him to the second highest place in all of Egypt, where he was used to spare many lives and be reunited with his family. God speaks to us through closed doors. And when you find one closed door after another, I know it's frustrating sometimes when you don't know what to do and you think you do and then the door closes. But God is using that to direct you to what he has for your life. Rejoice and thank God when a door is closed, because that means there's an open door in your future, and you will know that that open door is the will of God for your life. He guides us through closed doors. an open one. Secondly, we find here that God guides us by circumstances and through thought processes. Paul knew he was called to plant and strengthen churches. So he used, as I said in Acts 15:36, he used rational thought to say that he should revisit the churches they had planted on their first missionary journey. Notice there were no thunderous voices from heaven saying, go revisit the churches. There was no lightning bolt, no handwriting on the wall. Paul reasoned that it was logical and made sense to go and revisit those churches and strengthen the people who were there. And so he did that, and that was the second missionary journey. And then here also in Acts 16, verse 10, when they received, Paul received the vision of that man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. It says, uses the word, we concluded that God told us to go across the sea over into Macedonia. The word concluding, the Greek word, actually carries the notion of putting the pieces of a puzzle together. That is, gathering information and drawing a conclusion. You know, some people picture the will of God making us into mind-numbed robots, you know, where God, the heavenly programmer, just programs us. We have no rational thought of our own, and we just proceed to do the will of God for which we are programmed. That's not how it works. God gave us a brain to use it. God gave us gray matter to use it. And so when we use the mind God gave us and think rational thoughts, that can help lead us to the will of God. Now, our minds need to be soaked in prayer. We need to be walking with God. We need to be communing with God. We need to have the God mind, if you will. And when we're walking with God and praying and seeking Him, then we are much more likely to think God's thoughts about matters and to look at things rationally. In Acts chapter 6, there was a circumstance where the widows of the early church were at odds with each other. The widows of different nationalities were in contention with each other, and the apostles, who were the authorities in the church, they realized this, but they didn't want to be bogged down. Even though this was important to resolve, they didn't want to be bogged down with dealing with these issues. So they appointed the first deacons. The word deacon actually means servant. They appointed deacons to deal with this problem, and they reasoned that if the deacons deal with that problem, we apostles can continue to focus on ministering the word of God. And so out of this group of deacons arose, they chose godly, spirit-filled men. There arose a man called Stephen. Acts tells us the story of Stephen, who was used mightily of God, eventually stoned for his faith. And at his stoning, there was a young man named Saul who would later become Paul. Think about this. If they didn't use their thought process to deal with a circumstance, there might not have been deacons, there might not have been a Stephen, and there possibly may not have been an Apostle Paul. But it was the circumstance combined with a rational thought process that allowed Stephen to step into the area of God's will for his life. We have to be careful about following our thoughts. Someone once said, don't believe everything you think. And there's truth in that. But a God-soaked mind, a God-imbued mind, a spirit-led mind can be used of God. We are not just robots, but God uses our intelligence and our thought process to do what is prudent and what is best. And if not checked or prevented by the Holy Spirit, we can move forward knowing that we are doing the will of God. So God can use a circumstance combined with our thought process to help us move forward in God's will. The third way that God guides us when circumstances change is that he guides us personally and also through others. Verse 10 begins what is known as one of the we sections of the book of Acts. Luke, the author, it is clear from changing his tone here that he has joined the band, Paul and his colleagues, on their journey. And there are several places in the book of Acts where instead of talking about Paul in the third person, he uses the plural first person. We did this. And he says there in verse 10, we concluded as a result of Paul's dream of a man saying, come to Macedonia and help us, that we should go. Notice Paul had the dream, but others were involved in the decision. Now, I want to be clear. God will speak primarily to you when he wants you to do something. However, we should never be afraid to get godly counsel about an intended course of action. Don't be afraid to find a godly counselor, a trusted counselor, and say things like, what does this sound like to you? Or am I looking at this the right way? Perhaps you might say to someone else, is there something I'm missing? Don't be afraid to seek godly counsel. God has placed other godly people in your life to help you to know the direction you should take. And I want to point this out as well. Don't just ask people's advice if they're the people only that you know will tell you what you want to hear. We do that, don't we? We have an intended course of action. Come on, you know we do this. I know I've done it. You have too. We have something we really want to do, and we kind of want to convince ourselves that it's God's will. And so what do? We go to like-minded people. We go to the same people, and we tell them, and we kind of shade it and slant it. And we know before we go to them, they're going to put their stamp of approval on it and say, yeah, I think that's the way you should go. You need to avoid doing that. You need to go to people who are willing to challenge you, who are willing to say, I don't think you're looking at this properly, who are willing, love you enough, are willing to say, hey, I think you may be making a mistake. Are you willing to go to those kind of people who may tell you what you don't want to hear? A study published in Finland suggests that hanging around the same people all the time can limit a person's knowledge. The study's author says they found that when a person hears new information, they call their friends and their close acquaintances. And basically, when you limit yourself to that kind of interaction, you're just bandying about the same kind of ideas. This study agreed with earlier research that says you need to find new relationships and people need to be exposed to different ways of thinking, and that will increase their knowledge. People with large social networks, the study found, have been found to develop the part of the brain associated with memory and emotion. In other words, the wider the influences you allow into your life, the greater chance you'll have of making a good decision. How about you today? Do you have counselors in your life who will tell you more than just what you want to hear? Proverbs 15:22 says this, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't assume that you have the fast track into discerning God's will. Yes, he will speak to you personally, but he also allows godly counselors in your life to guide you and to help you, and he will use them to speak to you if you know the right ones to go to. Well, what's the fourth way God guides us through changing circumstances? We need to understand, fourthly, that God's guidance often comes gradually and unpredictably. That's true, isn't it? Though Paul and his colleagues began this journey by visiting previously established churches, they didn't know ultimately where it would lead them, but they trusted God. Now, I want to be clear when I say that. That doesn't mean that we should begin some ministry or launch some huge undertaking without any planning or forethought. You know, just say, hey, man, God will guide me. Let's just get into it. We don't need to plan. We don't need to think ahead. We don't need to get our ducks in a row. Let's just jump into it. I'm not saying that. And God's word doesn't say that. We should plan. We should pray. We should think. We should line things up. No question about that. But the fact remains that when we undertake something, as we've been talking about, keep our theme in mind, things change. things arise that were unexpected. And no matter how well we've planned, no matter how detailed we were in thinking ahead about what we would do, plans change. Contingencies arise. What will we do then? Well, I'm here to tell you today, you can trust God to lead you through those changing circumstances. You know, they say the best football coaches are the ones who make the best halftime adjustments. They have a game plan going in, but guess what? The other team has a game plan too, to try to defeat you. And so if things don't go as particularly as planned in the first half, the best coaches make great halftime adjustments, I'll say it right, and they're successful. Why? Because they deal with contingencies. God can help you deal with contingencies. This is interesting. In an interview with George Plimpton in the Paris Review, author E.L. Doctorow was talking about the discipline of writing, but his comments can be applied to discerning the will of God. He said, we must use discipline to keep at a task, trusting that there is an end. We can't always see the end from the beginning. And when asked about writing, he said, it's like driving a car at night. You never see further than your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. Isn't that true? You don't know what you'll see down the road. You can only see as far as your headlights allow you to see on a dark night. But you know that you can make the trip that way, finding the way a little bit at a time. That truth applies to the will of God. On most occasions, God doesn't give you the whole plan. He doesn't let you know how things may look down the road or a year from now or 5 years from now or sometimes even this week. But you know what? If you move forward in the will of God, He will reveal His will to you, sometimes a little bit at a time. Sometimes He'll have you take a left when you think you should go right, or a right when you think you should go left. It'll be gradual. It'll be a bit unpredictable at times. But you can trust God to reveal His will to you, to help you to know what to do when you don't know what to do. Timothy Keller says of this process, he says this, it is often like a mountainous road on which you often labor hard, doubling back and seeming to get nowhere, until you come to some vantage point where you can see the big picture and see how much progress you've made and where you are going. That's true, isn't it? Sometimes life just seems like a mess and we seem like we're going in circles and we don't know where to go. But if we're trusting God every step of the way, no matter what arises, He will get us to where we need to go. And we get to a vantage point and we're able to see the Lord has brought us this far. We've covered a lot of ground. Why? Because God has revealed His will to us. God has led us. Yes, plans have changed. Contingencies have arisen. Things we didn't expect have come into our lives and disrupted our plans. But God was faithful to lead us where we needed to be. Well, to conclude this morning, after Paul sees the vision of a man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us, he and his companions went across the sea and came to Philippi, the chief Roman colony or Roman city of Macedonia. And when they got there, the first person they interacted with wasn't a man, it was a woman. Her name was Lydia. She was a businesswoman, but God used that experience to spark revival. And Paul had some of his greatest ministerial success in the city of Philippi there in Macedonia. He was used of God, though unjustly imprisoned, to God miraculously set he and Silas free. They ministered salvation to the Roman jailer, and his whole family came to Christ. And Paul had some of his most fruitful ministry there in Philippi in Macedonia. Paul and his companions, remember, didn't know exactly where they were going. They wanted to go to Ephesus. Then they wanted to go to Bithynia. But they ended up going right in between to Troas to go across the sea to Philippi because they kept walking, because God led them every step of the way. And God will do that for you. You may be in a situation or a place in life or may be coming to one because of this pandemic or because of other things in your life, where you say, hey, I've gotten this far, but I really don't know what to do. This was not what I expected. I have good news for you. God will guide you. God will take you where you need to go. How does God guide us through changing circumstances? First of all, he guides us through both closed doors and open ones, like a funnel. He uses those closed doors to get us where he wants us to go. He guides us through circumstances and through a God-soaked thought process. We can use our rational ability to think, especially if we're in close communion with God, to know what we should do next. And often, God guides us personally and, in addition, through other people. Do you have godly counselors who will speak truth into your life and challenge you, even when it's a little difficult to hear? God will use them to guide you. And then God's guidance often comes gradually, little by little, unpredictably. We may not know what we're supposed to do tomorrow, but God will help you to know what you're supposed to do today. And when tomorrow comes, he'll give you the guidance you need at that time. I'm here to tell you today, plans change. Sometimes we have to recalibrate. Sometimes we're not sure what to do next. What do you do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? You trust God to guide you. God will guide you. God will get you where he wants you to go. He'll give you the steps. They may be one at a time, but he will guide you where he wants you to go. And I am just believing with you that in whatever situation you find yourself, even today or in the future, you can trust God to get you where you need to go. Sometimes we need to recalibrate. Plans change. But God is faithful.